God gave the increase, and I believe the Lord's given some increase. Amen. And so I am thankful for that. All right, let's go ahead and go to the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at different passages, mostly in the book of Acts tonight. Are we on here? Nope. Okay. There we go. We'll be looking mostly in the book of Acts this evening, church, but then we're also going to finish up over in the book of 2 Timothy. But we'll be mostly in the book of Acts, and Brother Dana should have the scriptures to help us, you know, keep up to where we are. But we're going to look at this idea tonight on rubbing people the right way. And let me go ahead and we're going to go ahead and pick up there in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Would you stand with us if you're able to stand in reverence of the Word of God? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Now, this isn't the message tonight. Well, I really like that thought that say where they had assembled together, the place was shaken when they had prayed. Amen. Those are the kind of things that can happen when God's people get together and pray. We can literally shake this place up. We can shake this community up. The Lord Jesus Christ used 12 disciples to turn the world upside down. Imagine what he could do with the church that's wholly dedicated to the Lord. It says, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. That's a spirit of unity, church. That's a spirit of single-mindedness. It's a spirit of we're serving the same cause. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There's nobody here tonight, if you've been saved by the grace of God, hasn't had been bestowed the grace of God upon you. Every single one of us, if you've been saved, have received the free gift of salvation, and not a one of us did a thing to earn it tonight, church. Amen. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as that were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the county of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already done tonight, for the songs that we've sung. Lord, thank you, Lord. What a joy, and Lord, what a privilege to hear the praise of your people tonight. Lord, I know that is a sweet savor in your ears this evening. Father, as the scripture said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Lord, we've tried to do that tonight, and I hope you're pleased. Father, we ask you if you would just be with us the next few moments. We ask for your wisdom. We need your help tonight. God, we can't do this without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk about tonight rubbing people the right way. Now, back in the day, when floors would be polished, especially in particular wood floors, you always were taught to polish or clean with the grain. How many were taught that growing up? You know, you go with the grain. And oftentimes, even when you polish or when you clean, sometimes it still leaves streaks. And so if you clean and polish with the grain, it actually flows better and goes better. The cleaning solutions and everything work better with the grain. Same concept when you're staining wood or putting polyurethane on something. You generally want to work with the grain. You don't want to go against it. And so the idea came that if you rub somebody the wrong way, or you're rubbing it the wrong way, you rub me the wrong way, that's kind of where that idea came from, right? It just doesn't flow as good when you rub something the wrong way. Now, probably everybody here tonight has rubbed someone the wrong way. Amen. We said something, didn't really mean it, how it sounded, and probably as soon as it came out, we're like, boy, I did not mean that. Amen. I did not mean that. But nevertheless, we rubbed somebody the wrong way. And then probably everybody here, I'm sure, has been rubbed the wrong way too. Amen. Somebody has said something to you That's not the way it was intended. That's not the way it was said. Maybe they apologized. Maybe they didn't. Nevertheless, our desire tonight is how to be an encourager, really is what we're talking about. When we're talking about rubbing someone the right way, we're talking about being an encourager. And we're really looking at the example of Barnabas tonight. And he was an exhorter, the son of consolation, the person that was known always throughout the New Testament, encouraging people. Boy, I want to be known as an encourager. I want to be known as the one who is constantly helping people, building people up. Hey, listen, somebody, if they came to church tonight and needed some help and Brother Kevin went aside to talk to them, they need to know that church is somewhere they can come and get some help. If they need some encouragement, they need to know that the house of God is a place where they can get some encouragement. Amen? Everybody needs encouragement from time to time, no matter who you are. Even folks who tend to have a positive spirit by nature, and I praise God if you do, but you still need encouragement every now and then. William Arthur Ward said, "Flatter me, and I may not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you. Encourage me, and I will not forget you." Hey, there is a lot of power in our words, church. The things that we say, the things that come out of our, keep in mind, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, but the things that come out of our mouths, the things that come out of our heart, when we say things, they leave impressions on people. They make a difference in people's lives, and frankly, they can be for the good or for the bad. But our desire as Christians is to be an encouragement. Now, when you look at the life of Barnabas, you'll see that he was always doing things and saying things to encourage people. Let me give you a couple of examples here in the book of Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. In fact, I'm going to read the verse or two before that. Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad," and watch this, what does the Bible say? "Exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." So here he was encouraging them all, exhorting them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what he was doing? He was encouraging people to remain close to the Lord. He was encouraging people to build their relationship with the Lord. He was encouraging people to draw closer to God. Hey, if we're going to be an encourager, don't encourage people to do wrong things, but encourage people to get closer to the Lord. Amen. I've known some people, for the record, that encourage people to do bad things, right? Especially, you know, you're coming up, you've heard of something called peer pressure before, right? Who has been pressured into doing something before because of a peer, because of somebody, and they encouraged you to do the wrong thing? Maybe that's why the book of Proverbs teaches, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not," right? But that's not necessarily our main focus tonight. Even though we should not encourage people to do wrong, we should encourage people to do right. That's who Barnabas was known to be. Also in Acts chapter 14, if you'd like to go there, Acts chapter 14, I'll show you another example of who Barnabas was and the way that he lived his life in Acts chapter 14. And verse number 20, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." That wasn't the Kentucky Derby, okay? Just in case you were wondering. "And when he had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, and returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch," watch this, verse 22, "confirming the souls of the disciples." And what? "Exhorting them to" what? "Continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So in one place, he's encouraging people to get closer to the Lord. And in another place here, he's encouraging people to continue in the faith. You know what that means? That means that sometimes people that you come across in life, and boy, they're about to be done. They're about to quit. They're about to throw in the towel. And then God used somebody like you with the spirit of Barnabas to say, "Hey, you know what? Just keep on serving the Lord. It gets better. Just keep on serving God. Just keep on going after God." And that's what I pray and desire. That's the kind of church that I desire to have. Amen. Not only this morning we talked about having a compassion, but we ought to have the kind of church that people know, hey, Florence Baptist Church, they're a compassionate church. But what else I can tell you about Florence Baptist Church? They're an encouraging church. Every time I go, my spirits get lifted up. I get encouraged. I get some help. I get somebody who just shows me the love of Christ. And I always feel better after being there. Now, sometimes the preaching of the Word of God might not make you feel good, but you sure got what you needed, amen? But nevertheless, when we're talking about the people of God as a consensus, I desire with all my heart, church, to be known as a compassionate church and to be known as an encouraging church. People ought to be able to come here and know that they're going to be helped and blessed when they come to church. So we see some examples here of who Barnabas was. Now, we go back to our text there in chapter 4. I want you to notice what encouragers do. I want you to notice what encouragers do. Did you notice there in verse 37, it's talking about Barnabas having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were just talking about here, what they were doing is that there was some needs in the church. And people were literally selling their houses and their lands to give to those who were in need. Now, I don't know what they had. Maybe they had extra land. Maybe they had extra property. I don't know. That's not clarified to me. What I do know is that the people in the church, and in particular mentions Barnabas, apparently made some kind of sacrifice. Even if it was a second house. Even if it was the lake house. Apparently, they got to the place where they, you know what, I'm going to make a sacrifice to help meet the need of other people. And if you're going to be an encourager, friend, you're going to be one who, number one, brings blessings to people. You bring blessings to people. Blessings can come in many shapes or fashions, amen? You know what? I get encouraged sometimes when somebody says a note that says, Pastor, that the message helped me. That's encouraging, right? Now, that's not what I live for. I've told you before, that's not what I strive for. But if a message was a help to somebody, it's encouraging to get a little comment or something that says, Pastor, that helped. That's encouraging. I get encouraged when somebody brings me coffee. Amen. That's a blessing to me. Amen. I think it was a couple weeks ago, and Brother Roger and Dylan, they came by and brought me a coffee. And boy, that made me get a little excited. Amen. That blessed me. And I know, say, well, it's just a cup of coffee. Yeah, but somebody thought about me. Somebody thought about me. Somebody went out of their way to do something for me that they know that I would like, that I would appreciate. Amen. I've been invited to folks' house and had a meal with them. That's encouraging. You know why? Because they care enough about us or care enough about our family to invite us somewhere or to have to fellowship and have a meal. Friend, those kind of things are a blessing. And that's what encouragers do. They bring blessings to other people. And not just Christians, for the record. Amen. But we're also talking about our neighbors. I think that our neighbors is something as simple as this, looking out for. You know, used to you could really count on neighbors, right? I try hard to build good relationship with my neighbors. My neighbor, he actually had his truck stolen. I guess it's been about a month ago or so. Had his truck stolen. They found it on Gila River. Had been torched to the ground, right? I mean, right there in front of our house. I was like, my goodness, I can't believe right here in front of our house. Well, it encouraged him because he ended up getting another truck. And then I seen a car parked right next to his truck. It didn't look like it belonged there. So I called him and I said, hey, neighbor, I said, are you expecting company? Because there's somebody over there by your truck. And he said, you know what? Thank you, honey, for calling me. That's my family. They're waiting on me. I know that they're out there. They're waiting on me. But it encouraged him to know that somebody cared enough to pick up the phone and make a call, right? It's just enough to say, just put him on alert. Just put him on call. Friend, you just never know so many different ways that you can bring blessings to people by making a phone call, by bringing them a little gift, by giving them a word of encouragement, by just going out of your way to let someone know you were thinking about them or looking out for them, or they were just on your mind and in your heart. And that is something we all have the ability to do. You don't have to have a talent to be an encourager. You just have to decide you want to be. Amen? You know, sometimes we do come, and again, I preface already by saying that this church should be a place for people to be encouraged. But let's not always come with the mindset that I'm the one who needs encouragement, because sometimes the best way that you can encourage yourself is actually to encourage other people, right? It encourages you when you empower and encourage other people, amen? You see someone encouraged and lifted up their spirits because of your help or your blessing or your word of encouragement, and I promise you, church, I promise you it will encourage you. So encouragers, first of all, they bring blessings to other people. Second of all, encouragers break barriers. Encouragers break barriers. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 9. Go to chapter 9, verse 26. We'll see another example of old brother Barnabas here. Well, he was just an encourager. All throughout the Bible, we see him being an encourager. In chapter 9, in verse 26, And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And believed not that he was a disciple. But who broke a barrier right here? Who does the Bible say we talk about right here? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Do you understand what's just transpired in this chapter? Do you understand that right here in the beginning of the chapter is the story of, we know, of Saul on the road to Damascus? Do you understand that now the Lord has sent Paul to kind of join the other disciples and to start to learn, to start to be taught, to start to grow in the Lord, start to fellowship with other ones? But they were scared of him. Now, let me ask you a question. Did they have a good reason to be scared of Paul, Saul, at this time? Why? Because he was putting people to death, wasn't he, Chuck? Amen? He was just at the scene of seeing Stephen martyred to death, stoned to death. He was there. Probably was the one that was behind it. He had just requested for him to be able to have more warrants to put other Christians in jail. He had seen Christians put in jail. He had seen Christians be put to death. They had a very valid reason to be scared of Paul or Saul, if we can know at this point. But the Bible says there, when Saul was coming to Jerusalem, he said to join himself the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. In other words, they were kind of skeptical of him. They didn't really believe. They weren't really sure what to think about Paul, so they were kind of standoffish, if you will. Right? You ever seen people or been around people? And they're kind of standoffish. You ever gone to a church and they seem kind of standoffish towards you? Friend, that's never my desire here. Now let me say this. As long as people aren't here causing a threat or a danger to anybody else here, they're welcome. I don't care where they come from. I don't care who they are, what they're doing. As long as they're here and they don't cause a disruption and they don't hinder you from worshiping the Lord, and they're not causing a threat or a danger to you. Now, if somebody comes in here being a threat, if somebody comes in here posing a danger, you better believe they're going to be asked to leave. Now, if they want to sit down and listen to the service, if they want to sit down and engage in the service, they're more than welcome to sit where they want to sit and worship the Lord. But what I'm saying, friend, is that there is places where you feel like a stranger, right? Barnabas was not going to allow that to happen. Barnabas had witnessed what God had done to Saul's life, later known as Paul. Barnabas had witnessed what God had done and said, hey, you know what? He's one of us now, right? Let me introduce you to Paul. You know, he was on the other side, but now he's serving the Lord with us. And it was Barnabas who broke that barrier and brought him. It's almost like, come here, Nicholas. I know he probably won't like it. Here's Paul. Say, hey, guys, look, let me tell you what Jesus done for old Paul right here. Well, he was on his way to Damascus to put other Christians to death, but boy, I saw the Lord work in a great way. And let me just tell you what God has done in old brother Paul's life right here. I sit down and say, you've done a good job. Amen. He's going to get an Emmy or something. But you see, friend, that's what encouragers do. That's who people who want to help people do. They always bring blessings to people, but they often always break barriers. You want to be an encourager? Hey, you see somebody walk into the house of God, you go by and introduce yourself. Somebody else, you know, hey, can I introduce you to so-and-so we just met? He just come by church. He's passing through. He just moved to Florence. Boy, isn't it God good? Isn't it great to have him here in church? And you know what you're doing? You're breaking a barrier. People don't know what to expect when they come to our church, or maybe to any church in general. People don't know what the first time you came here, be honest, you did not know what to expect. Nobody did, including myself. First time I came to service, I did not know what to expect. But it sure helps when there's a few Barnabases in the crowd that's going to go by and break barriers and say, boy, we're so glad to have you. And for the record, mean it. Mean it. Say, and generally ask questions. Generally care about their soul. Generally be concerned about who they are and where they come from, and maybe how you can be a blessing. See, that's what encouragers do. Encouragers bring blessings. Encouragers break barriers. But then encouragers also build bridges. Now, before I get into the next thought, let me share this with you real quick. Because I was thinking, I read this, and I put it in here. I want to share it with you. Because, you know, you think about the people there, first of all, in the church, that they had a need, and Barnabas sold his possessions and sold his things. He came by to meet a need and to bring a blessing. Then we think about Paul, who was an outsider. He was an outcast. And I can get it. I understand. But somebody had to stand up and say, hey, the Lord has saved his soul. He's one of us now. But you think about this, those kind of people. Sick people don't need money. They need a word of concern. Lonely people don't need money. They just need a few minutes of your time. Hurting people don't need money. They just need a touch on the shoulder. Discouraged people don't need money. They just need a sentence of hope. And oftentimes we think that money is the always answer. Now, sometimes you can help people. I get that. But money is not always the solution. They probably need something greater than what you can offer. A minute of your time, a word of encouragement, a shoulder to cry on, and you just never know. So thirdly, as we're moving along here, we see that encouragers bring blessings. Encouragers break barriers, and thirdly, encouragers build bridges. Let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15, this is where I think this is a very, very interesting story. Now, we just talked about him breaking barriers, right, with the Apostle Paul. Now, watch this story here. In chapter 15, let's start in verse 36. Now, we just seen the example where Barnabas broke barriers for the Apostle Paul. Now, he's on a different side right here. In verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So Paul was literally saying, Barnabas, you know, we've been preaching a lot, been going around in churches preaching, establishing churches, been on a missionary journey, if you will. Why don't we go back and check on everybody? Why don't we go back and see how everybody's doing? Now, don't you think that's a good thing? That's a good thing. Go by. Let's go by and check on all the churches. Now, notice verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them in Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So what's happened here? You got to understand the backstory. Paul says to Barnabas, hey, let's go visit the churches that we preach to. Let's see how they're doing. Maybe his thought was to be an encouragement to them. Barnabas was determined to take Mark with them. But Paul, who he just broke barriers for a few chapters ago, didn't think that was a very good idea. You know why? Because Mark quit on him. Up until this point, Mark was known as a quitter. He quit on him. He just up and left him. Quit the ministry, just left. And so Barnabas, being the encourager that he was determined to say, you know what, we're going to bring Mark with him because this probably will be encouragement to him. You know what I believe his logic was? Because I get this. Let's get Mark involved. Let's get Mark involved. You realize that oftentimes we try to encourage people to take a ministry or to do something. You know why? Because we're trying to get you involved. Are you with me? It's different when you have invested in the church or invested in the ministry. It makes you more feel like a part of it, doesn't it? It doesn't really make a difference. What it is, you came here on a work day, you helped clean up the church, you helped serve people at food bank, whatever it is that you did, you feel a little bit more part of that ministry when you have engaged in that ministry. And here, Paul was saying, we're not taking Mark. He's a quitter. I'm not taking him. And Barnabas is like, we are taking him. I believe it'll be an encouragement to Mark to bring Mark with us. Let's watch. Let's read the rest of the story. The story actually didn't end well in this particular case. 39, and the contention. What's contention? Strife, animosity, tension. And the contention was so sharp between them. Between who? Paul and Barnabas. They departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So you see what happened here? Paul was like, you know what? We're bringing Mark. And Paul said, you're not bringing him. Obviously, they got into a disagreement. The Bible says the contention was so sharp that they went in different directions. And so Paul took Silas with him instead of Barnabas. And Barnabas said, you know what? I'm not going to let you hang out to dry, Mark. You come with me. Mark was that brother that nobody wanted. Mark was that brother who didn't have a good testimony. Mark was that brother that everybody thought, well, he's just a quitter. He ain't ever going to do anything for the Lord. But you see what Barnabas did? He built a bridge for him, didn't he? He built a bridge for him. He said, you know what? I'm going to invest in Mark. And even if it upset Paul, my good brother, even if it upset Paul, my good friend, if it means me taking on another work and another ministry, I'm taking Mark with me. Because I believe it'll help him. I believe it'll encourage him. You see, friend, that's the thing that encouragers do. They invest in people that nobody else seems worthy of investing in. They take time for people that people often wonder, why are you spending so much time with them? They're just going to burn you. They're just going to quit on you. They'll come to church for a few weeks and they'll just quit. Why are you investing? Because somebody was willing to build a bridge for them. Somebody was willing to invest in them. And those kind of things, friend, make a difference. Let's read on what happened later on in the story. So we see here, so far we've learned tonight that encouragers bring blessings. Barnabas did that. We see that encouragers break barriers. Barnabas did that. We see that encouragers build bridges. Did we see Barnabas do that? And the last thing I want you to notice, encouragers buy benefits. So what does that mean, Pastor? Essentially, they invest in eternal rewards. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice something. You may have never, ever caught this. But this is absolutely fascinating to me because somebody was willing to build a bridge. It led to this other eternal reward. So we just call it, he bought benefits. In other words, invested. By buying benefits, he invested in Mark. Here was the fruit of that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let me just back up because I really want you to get the text here. Let's just read verse 1, starting verse 1. Brother Dane, I know I didn't give you that. I apologize, but we're all right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Does anybody know who's talking here, by the way? This is Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul writing this letter to Timothy, okay? It's important that you know that this is Paul. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall return to the fables. For the record, that turning away is also the same word for apostasy, which is what we're seeing today. Apostasy is a turning away. Verse number 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am not ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is towards the end of Paul's ministry. He's seeing the end in sight, okay? He's telling Timothy, he says literally, I am ready to be offered. In verse number 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearance. Now pay real close attention to these next few verses. Do thy diligence to come to me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me. Now remember, somebody else who probably Paul felt like he forsook him before was probably Mark. You remember that? Don't bring him. He's worthless to me. He's no count. He's a quitter. Don't bring Mark. He's not worth investing in. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Grecians, Galatia, Titus, Dalmatia. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Take Mark. And watch what he says. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. B. Because someone was willing to build a bridge for Brother Mark. Even the one that was so angry and absolutely refused back in Acts to bring Mark with him because he was a quitter and he was not worth investing in. Now things have turned and he said, bring Mark. Bring Mark. Because he's profitable to me for the ministry. You see, things really turned around in Mark's lives. Things really look different now for him. Now Mark's reputation is totally different. He went from being a quitter, not worth investing, now he's profitable, according to the Apostle Paul. Paul's attitude also changed about Mark from saying, no, I refuse to work with him. Now, I really want you to bring Mark. He's very helpful to me. He's very profitable for the ministry. And do you know why that happened? Because somebody was willing to be an encourager. Because somebody was willing to invest in Mark's life. You know what we need today? We need a church to say, you know what? I realize that they've been in and out of church. I realize that we haven't seen them in church for a while. But I'm going to invest in that person. And I'm going to encourage them. And I'm going to take time with them. And I'll study the Bible with them. I'll pray with them. I'll just keep encouraging them. Because you know, one day I believe that God can make them profitable to the ministry. You see, Barnabas isn't known for a whole lot more other than being an encourager. Bridging the gap for people. Building barriers. And you know what I believe? I believe that God can use each and every single one of you to be the one to build bridges, to break barriers for people, because that's what people need. They need somebody that's more concerned about their future than concerned about their past. Friend, you're going to come across people all the time that you think, man, they just ain't going to do nothing. That's the perception. I wish that we could learn to see them as the Lord sees them, because the Lord can see the potential in them. The Lord knows what they could be if they become wholly dedicated to Him. And friend, you're going to come across people like that in ministry all the time in your daily life. Well, you ever seen somebody who's dedicated and you think, well, they'll never make time for the Lord, but have you ever thought, man, if they dedicated their life to the Lord, what could they do for God? Right? Man, they're very successful in everything they do. Can you imagine if they gave that over to the Lord? You know what they need? They need somebody to invest in them. They need somebody to buy some benefits, if you will. In other words, make an eternal investment. When you buy something, essentially you're investing in it. You understand that? And the benefit was, here's the benefit to Barnabas, is that he got to witness this. Barnabas got to see that, you know what? Look at Mark up there preaching now. Look at Mark over there working with Paul, serving the Lord, helping the Apostle Paul out. Lord, thank you for putting on my heart to invest in Mark when nobody else wanted to. Now look at what they're doing for the Lord. And friend, you just never know. You might not be one standing up, but you realize that you could invest in a young man and he'd be the next pastor of the church. And one day you could sit back and think, my goodness, nobody wanted that little boy around. He was a troublemaker. He used to do all kinds of terrible things. I remember hearing a story about the little boy. They were picking up on the church bus, and his hobby was taking songbooks. Right? We got songbooks. His hobby was taking songbooks and chewing up gum. He just enjoyed this. And he would put it in the songbook and close it up. So then when old Sister Betty the next Sunday went to open up her book, and it was stuck. And it caused a lot of annoyance and a lot of heartache and trouble in the church. Just kept doing it. Kept doing it. Come next week, put another piece of gum. It's like it was his goal to ruin every songbook in the church. The members of the church said, you know, Pastor, you're going to have to do something. You've got to get him out of here. He's ruining our songbooks around here. Pastor said, no. No, we're not going to do that. We'll just teach him better. We'll just keep a good eye on him. We'll put him with somebody so he can't do that. I'm not going to throw him out. I'm going to keep picking him up on the church bus, and he's going to keep coming to church. That young man grew up to be a pastor. Because somebody was willing to say, you know what, Mark? I love you anyway. You know, nobody else wants you around. And now that pastor bought into the benefits or the eternal rewards of getting to watch that young man stand up and preach because he wasn't willing to give up on him. Who have you given up on tonight, church? There's probably somebody tonight that you gave up on them. They've let you down. They've let your family down. They let the church down. You've seen them in and out of church. You've seen them quit. Friend, don't give up on the Marks. Or maybe it's a Paul. Maybe it's someone who they just got saved. And you've seen God work in their life and they're trying to turn their lives around. Why don't you bring him into the other disciples and say, hey, this is Brother Paul. And boy, let me tell you what Jesus done for Brother Paul. And he's one of us now. He's part of the family of God. You know what I think we struggle with, church, sometimes is we struggle sometimes accepting new people, even new Christians. But you know what I find interesting is that most, you all know I got four children. Nicholas is my oldest, Connor, Jameson, Sienna. And each one, every time that one of my children was birthed into the Sicaro's household, we had no problem accepting them into our family because they were birthed into our family, literally. God blessed us with them, and they were. It's not like, well, you know, it's Connor. You know, Nicholas was okay, but now Connor, I don't know about this kid. You know, Connor, let me tell you something about Connor. When he was little, if you did not feed him, he would find food on his own. He was, how old was he, two? He was about 2 years old. Not even one. That's true. He was not even 1 year old. I guess he was hungry and mom and dad were still asleep. He went and knocked over the garbage can. It was chewing on chicken bones. But you know what? On another occasion, Nicholas decided to make Connor Casper. We smelt the baby powder from the living room. Connor was sitting there and Nicholas had taken the whole bottle of baby powder and was squirting him. And Connor was literally white as a ghost. But you know what my point is? Even despite the things that they did, we had no trouble accepting them in our family. You know why? Because they're our family. Why do we have so much trouble accepting new Christians? You know what will bug me more than anything else? People who are skeptical of new Christians. Amen. Let me tell you right now, church, that'll get under my skin quicker than anything else. Amen. You be an encouragement to them. You be a help to them. You know what will bug me more than else? A visitor comes into this church and you say something to them that makes them feel unwelcome. Now, I try to have a sweet spirit, but I can lose my sweet spirit if you're going after some of our spiritual babies. Because I'll tell you what, church, I'm protective of these children. They're babies to me. Yeah, they're older, but I'm very protective of my children. And I believe that God gives a pastor's heart, and in particular, new Christians. Don't you dare be hard on them, church. Don't be critical of them. Hey, listen. Do not expect baby Christians to act like mature Christians because they're not. We are here to encourage them. We are here to help them. We are here to teach them. We are here to wrap our arms around and say, come on, Brother Paul. Come on, Brother Mark. We love you. We're so glad to have you. Because that's who Barnabas was, folks. And that's who I desire. That's the kind of church that I desire to have. If somebody gets saved into the family of God, you ought to do everything you can to be an encouragement. If somebody new starts coming to church, let me tell you, I don't care what they look like. I don't care how they're dressed. You show them the love of Christ. Because that's what encouragers do. And you just don't know that one day God will use them to teach a Sunday school class. God will use them to teach the babies around here. God will use them to be a teacher in the school. God will use them to preach in the pulpit. God will use them to teach Sunday school. You just don't know by your investment in them and your decision to be an encouragement to them, you might just sit back and say, boy, it really feels good to watch that one serve the Lord. That's what encouragers do. That's how you rub people the right way. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. As he plays softly, are you an encourager tonight, friend? Is there somebody that you just gave up on them? Is there somebody that everybody else was skeptical of them? And unfortunately, you became part of that crowd. Friend, God has probably put somebody on your mind and your heart. It might be a family member. It might be a former church member. It might be your neighbor. God has put somebody on your heart, I believe. If you listen to the Holy Spirit of God, God has put, it might be somebody already within the church. But if you have a desire to be encouragement, God will lay somebody on your heart to invest in them, to help them, to try to be a blessing to them, to try to help break barriers for them, to be the one to build bridges for them, that one day you'll see the fruit and you'll see the benefits of your time, your labor, and your heart poured into them. And maybe you'll say tonight, Pastor, I want to be an encouragement. Encourager, pray for me. I want to be an encourager to people. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Anybody else? Hey, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to be an encouragement to people. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. As always, we want to give you an opportunity. If you're here tonight, never received Christ as your personal Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. Say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. We would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. There's no greater investment that we can make in our time to take the Bible and show you that. If that's you tonight, friend, would you come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. I'm going to pray here in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for God, your people that have come faithfully tonight. Lord, they're here tonight because they have a desire to grow closer to you. They have a desire to worship. They have a desire to fellowship. They have a desire to grow in Christ. Lord, I truly am blessed by seeing such a great attendance and participation tonight in our Sunday night service. And Lord, several lifted their hands with a heartfelt desire to want to be an encouragement. Lord, maybe they want to be more like Barnabas, to bridge gaps and to break barriers and to bring blessings to people. So that one day they'll get the benefit of sitting back and saying, boy, it's such a blessing to see so-and-so serve you. Lord, I pray that you'd use them in a great way. God, let them be that friendly face. Let them be the one with a smile on their face that love people unconditionally like you do. Lord, no matter how many times they fail, let us be the one to pick them up. Father, I pray that you'd use this church just to be an encouragement to anybody who's associated with it, anybody who comes in contact with this ministry. I pray that you'd use us in a great way. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. We ask you to be with us as we continue to move forward for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Hey, listen, you're an encouragement to me for being